Okay, thank you and welcome back everyone. It's my pleasure to introduce the last address of the day. Katrina Schlunker researches and writes across the areas of cultural history, ficto-criticism and material cultures within diverse sites including colonial Australia and Indigenous art. Schlunker has recently published on art in the Anthropocene in a special issue of Australian Humanities Review 2019 and is co-investigator on the ARC Discovery Project Beyond Extinction, Reconstructing the Thylacine Tasmanian Tiger Archive 2020. She is an adjunct associate professor at the Universities of Sydney and Tasmania. And this address is called Cook 2050, or 250, sorry, Cook 2050. Imagine. Cook 250, Navigating Discourses Past and Present. Katrina, thank you.
Well, I'm so sorry not to be with you in person, but so delighted to have been a part of this absolutely amazing day. It's been an extraordinary shape-shifting day. And besides those who have actually spoken today, we have the presence of the artworks joining us from the two exhibitions from both universities, which is joining Nipaluna with Kaurna Country, which is just fantastic. Too many Captain Cooks reminding us of the flooding of this country with all the new cooks ignorant of Indigenous law and taking land not theirs, and in the hold signalling the ways in which possession claimed by Cook had to also produce a kind of cult that would try and hold a nation quiet, hold it hostage to an enormous self-perpetuating distraction that might hide the bloody stealing and whose name became Cook. Cook is not and has never been an historical figure in Australia, but rather a flexible and always available contemporary white force. That takeover was always violent and continues to be violent, but it mostly doesn't look it. Think of the thousands of Cook biographies, papers, budgets, responses, defences, as Natalie Harkin has written of the archive. Consider the paperwork, the archiving process to consign and classify this resource, maintained. Consider this fantasy monolith archive. It's stunning, all-knowing, so easily sustained. And as Darren said earlier, all so highly regarded. Getting out from under that force, looking through it, laughing at it, surgically removing it and making powerful new rituals to combat Cook's possessive force are some of what we've been offered today. When I first saw the tall ship headdresses of Ali Gomiya Baker and the Unbound Collective, I was reminded of the Songhai people and the Hauka, or crazy spirits, coming in to possess their human mediums, wearing mockeries of the British rulers in the shape of pith helmets. But in tall ships, we have an anti-possession ritual, an undoing of the very possibility of discovery and possession through an oceanic performance where these ships incarnate are carried on and into Indigenous sovereignty. And in Christian Thompson's Museum of Others, Othering the Explorer James Cook, we have the surgical style removal of Cook's eyes, that gaze becoming entirely that of the artist looking through Cook's facade, proving that we can get behind Cook and show him to be simply the powerful theatrical prop he is, but a prop that is not half as handsome and cheeky as Vincent Nemadjara's cowboy Cook. So, I don't need probably to make an argument to you for art, but it is art, it's curation and creation, that is the thing that can work in the multi dimensions needed to undo the force that is created via Cook. It can intervene in the monumentalizing of Cook. It can transform the death of Cook into and within the undiminished life of the Hawaiian Bay, where he became something else, land, sea, sky. It can bring community in and make colonial rations into clothes. It can sing through the quote from the collective that said, where she could not find herself, it transforms that to make loving anti-memorials. And it transforms the galleries that so shape what we think art is. And art, we heard today, can also stop a lawnmower with a small campfire. Thank you, Ali Baker, for reminding us at the very beginning of today about that moment within the Black Lives Matters protest where the statue of Captain Cook was defended. That act made me think this kind of poetry. Burning Cook. I had already thought of breaking up Captain Cook, of taking the giant Captain Cook that sits outside Cairns, the giant leftover of the Captain Cook Motel, and trucking him back down the East Coast, one bit after another, broken off and buried until what remained would arrive in Canberra and be sunk in Lake Burley Griffin. One hand left up to remind folk of the deep bloody depths, the ideas and actions that Australia depended on. And then I saw the armed and masked and mounted cops guarding the statue of Captain Cook in Hyde Park, Sydney, June 2020, Black Lives Matter. It should have been some clever piece of performance art. It could have been some smack-ass in-the-face installation, a Fiona Foley, a Jonathan Jones, or perhaps a Michelle Maynard designing with fluoro and uniforms. But no, this was our real, that when push came to shove at 1.5 COVID distance, when the black dead in Australia were being spoken for, and in that speaking, the stained white sheets were seen again and again, when that push came, Australia, the Australian government, the state security forces, rushed to defend a statue, an icy bronze statue, a statue that sits on Maruya granite, granite from Yuin country and the Bunjeli Manji clan, and underneath that, foundation set in Gadigal land. As Archie tells us, be careful where you walk through this land, because a child was born here and a child was born there. Be careful where you stand, Mr. Policeman Australia. You are always standing on life. Touching that life is a gift we sometimes get, but we Johnny-come-lately Australians are never going to get it from atop a statue. So I am Burning Cook, trying to burn away that bit of myself that forgets, trying to transform that mixed-up shit, that emptiness, that nothing that you only see when you see how heavily you defend it. This fractured father figure, this frozen phallus, this national need, the personal greed to claim his seed, this letting go might look like Cook, but it's me, one of too many cooks, too many confusions. I am letting the cemented Cook go. I don't need him any longer. Let him go. Let him rest with his people. Let him be. I don't want him. We don't need him. I really don't. We really don't need him. Julie Goff, writing in the Too Many Cooks catalogue, says, the days of propagating ever more cooks to desperately foment an honourable foundation story are now well gone. In the growing will for truth over silence, our island's past is being populated with grounded events and named participants. Light is being cast upon spectres, shame and shadows replaced by accountability. The once hidden colonial figures of history are retaking Cook's place, and the named are many. Today has been a day of naming, but also renaming, reimagining, and remembrance. We have been gifted the powerful transformations of the Unbound Collective to let loose from the possessive grip. And we know from Fiona Foley's film that it's not only Indigenous people looking back and holding cookism to account, but the power of country reminding us there was always, always a before cook and there is an after cook, and that the tides have turned sharply on that silliest white fella trying to play didgeridoo out of his eye. Thank you for having me.